Welcome to the Lusima Podcast. I'm Charles Lusima. It's the first day of the two-day workshop, and I'm headed off to the studio right now. So it's the morning, and I'm in the car, and I haven't done this in a while, so this is a little bit interesting because mornings aren't always great for me. Sometimes my mind isn't all together, and sometimes I don't want to talk. Actually, most of the time I don't want to talk, but this morning I have a few things I want to discuss because of yesterday's podcast. Pretty much immediately after I ended that podcast, I thought to myself, you know, I was thinking to myself, Charles, you didn't really give these people anything to work off of, because you kind of presented a chicken and the egg problem. And then when I thought about that, I re-listened to the podcast and I thought to myself, well, that's not entirely true. The podcast addressed a lot of things in different angles, but present an overall idea that is basically that you have to manage this perception, which is, I guess, falls under the category of marketing. But it is to say that this is a long, drawn-out war, and it's, in summary, the reputation and the image that you create in the minds of these people is ongoing, and it's not a short-term thing that you can resolve with one picture or even a series of pictures. It's done through many, many interactions, many times over. If it were that easy, where someone could just spend 1 week building a great portfolio and doing a nice series of shoots, then nobody would really wonder or ask about how you'd manage. I guess, you know, you have to manage it more like a business. And for that reason, there are some people out there who, there's some photographers out there that, what I'm about to say is just my own personal opinion, but what I've heard from models out there is that several of the internet famous photographers, the ones who've popped up within the last 2-3 years that weren't around back in, let's say, 6-7 years ago in the days of Model Mayhem, I would say the ones that I've heard about are the bad apples, and the ones that I've heard about have made, have created bad reputations for themselves as far as the way that they manage their relationships with their models and the way that they come onto their models and maybe say or do some inappropriate things with the models. And so it's the same names that I hear kind of over and over again. And the irony is none of them were around more than 3 years ago. They've all kind of just popped up out of the woodwork with Instagram. And I wonder whether or not they realize that this is going to come around and come back to haunt them, because managing your image is something that is a long-term perspective that you shouldn't just take for granted because you can buy followers or you can, you know, you have 100,000 followers or whatnot. And it's something that it takes a little bit of a top level point of view in order to understand that this is very precarious once you get down that path where you start to develop a reputation where people are talking about you in a very negative way. And for that reason, that's one of the examples that I bring up, where this is a very, very long-term project. Since the beginning, I think I've talked about this on podcasts, but since the beginning, from when I created Lusima and registered the .com, that I started realizing and thinking about how this persona or this character or this image is greater than me as a person. Because people, I think when they meet me, I think they're somewhat disappointed, because I think there's no way that any one person could live up to the expectations of what the image is, and then the work, and then the website, and all that stuff, all that public persona stuff, I guess you could say. Nobody could live up to all that. And so when they see me, whether or not, I mean, I think even if I were an Italian supermodel, you know, it wouldn't matter, because I think it's just hard to, I'm one person at one point in time versus all of the work that I've ever created, all speaking for me in unison, if that makes any sense. So there's nothing that I could do or say or be when you meet me that could possibly stand up to all the things that you've seen of me over that many years. But I've thought about it throughout the years, and that realization is very important. The realization that people are disappointed when they meet you, that is incredibly important, because that tells you something about what you're doing in the presence of social media. It tells you that you're larger than life, that the things that you do that represent you carry this weight in history that you can't overdo, or that you can't outdo, rather. So adopting, for example, over the years, the first thing I did was I registered the .com. Then I, what did I do? Before I had the .com, I was just Charles Ye Photography, because that's my legal name. Then I registered that .com because I wanted something very, very short. So I chose Lucima. Lucima became my website. But then there was this discrepancy between who I was as a photographer, my real name, and then my website. Why was it Lucima? So in order to bridge that misunderstanding, or to remove that confusion, I just adopted Lucima as my last name. So I became Charles Lucima. And from that day on, people weren't confused anymore. People just assumed that, oh, that's your last name, and therefore you are the wizard behind the curtain. You are the person behind this website. But that being said, I think I've explained here, I could pass Lucima off. Nobody would ever know, really, unless, of course, you've worked with me personally. But to the masses who've never seen me in person, who've never worked with me, they wouldn't ever know. So it's actually this thing where it can be a legacy, it can be passed on to someone else to be run as a business. And it's not necessarily me, or it is now, but it doesn't have to be. But that's one of the things I wanted to say. The other thing I wanted to say, as far as your reputation or your street cred or your this whole management or perception, you know, none of it is a magic bullet or a silver bullet or a panacea. There's never this one thing that is going to be able to answer all of your prayers, right? And I've talked about that in another podcast, and certainly in the blog. The blog is lucimablog.blogspot.com. It's a blog that I don't really upkeep anymore because I do this podcast now, and it mostly takes the place of the blog, this podcast. But there are some times when I feel like I need to write things out and really hash out my ideas before I present it, and therefore you'll see a few posts here and there, but really, largely, I've abandoned that blog. But going back to the panacea, or the cure-all, rather, when I present to you the problem of, well, the question of, well, how do I get to do what you do, which is oftentimes really code for, well, how do I get naked, beautiful pictures of naked women, and how do I get them to pose for me? There isn't one thing that I can tell you where you can just do that and then you're just going to be able to go off into Instagram and then suddenly people are just going to want to work with you and DM you all the time. That isn't really how it works. And so I think my expectation when I first heard, hey, Charles, you didn't really give these guys any real answers. You kind of presented a chicken and an egg problem, because they're going to say, well, I don't have the body of work, so how can I get the models, right? That's the first reaction. That's a gut reaction of, well, you told me that the answer to how to get the models is to create a great body of work. Well, I don't have a great body of work, so you've really told me nothing. That's not what I said. And I'm not saying that you said it. I'm actually saying that my gut reaction to that original question is wrong. because it, first of all, when I re-listened to the podcast, it didn't seem like I was trying to present a chicken and an egg problem. I'm trying to tell you that out of the many possibilities of how to get the models or to do what I do, that one of the big chunks of it is this whole perception thing. And it's a theme. It's an ongoing theme. And therefore, should not be seen and perceived as a magic bullet. There is no such thing. There isn't anything that you can do, single thing that you can do, that's just going to change everything. Not a Hasselblad, not a studio, not paying for models. There is nothing that you can do. Not a single thing that you can do, but there are many things that you can do when done in conjunction will really, really help you be able to create the type of work that you want to create, be able to attract the models that you want to attract. And like I said, one of the big chunks of that is the management of perception. And so that's why earlier when I was talking about like the realization that people are disappointed told me that I was onto something. And what I was onto was basically that I was creating a persona or an image online that was much stronger than anybody, any single person could represent. And that idea showed me and really proved to me that over time, when you're able to put yourself out there, right? And again, one of the examples that I gave in that last podcast was you got to do a lot of things. You got to really put yourself out there. And I always kick myself and blame myself for not doing enough of that these days, you know? It's variety and it's frequency. And those are the types of things that really govern almost anything. And that's actually something I want to get to in a second. But variety and frequency, but at the same time, variety in conjunction with specificity, okay? So, for example, when I'm training, I want to make sure that I'm training for all three of my Ironman sports, but I want to train the variety that I train in. For example, I got to get my long runs in, I got to get my sprints in, I've got to get high cadence spinning on my bike, I got to get low cadence power on my bike, I got to get long distances, I got to get shorter distance sprinting. I got to develop a very wide power band and a very flexible power output over the duration of the amount of time and distance that I'm going to be racing. And as a result of that, I should have enough to be able to get through the race at a time. And I should see the most results in the shortest amount of time, for one thing. And then secondly, that's, you know, ideally I want to be able to hit my target times for the results for Ironman or half Ironman for this one. So that is maybe a poor example of variety, frequency, and also specificity. Specificity oftentimes refers to you have to train what you're trying to do. You got to do what you're trying to race. So you can't just, for example, I can't go to like do CrossFit for 6 months and expect to do well at Ironman. I can't go skiing for 6 months and expect to do well at Ironman. Specificity requires that you shoot what you want to do. So you can't be taking pictures of architecture and landscape when you want to do nudes or fashion or beauty. You have to shoot those things that you want to do. But then it's also, you know, you have to throw in variety, right? You can't just do the same crop and composition over and over and over again with the same lighting. That makes you very narrow. That shuts down your range and really truncates your ability to shoot within that beauty. Let's say you've chosen beauty as your specialty. But you got to be able to produce more than just a flat light beauty look or a butterfly light beauty look, and you can't just shoot like one crop and one expression. And that, this actually segues me into my next topic, which is it has a lot to do with the management of perception. And I guess I could have lumped this in yesterday, and I didn't, but I didn't think of it yesterday, so I couldn't. One of the examples that I want to talk about with managing, and this is really managing Instagram as a very, very specific topic, is the variety. Okay, frequency is easy. I can tell you how often I post. I post once a day. But I was talking about variety, right? Variety is very interesting because the way that I govern my Instagram feed is very much like how I would want to lay out a magazine. And as an example, actually, when Keith was working for me, I used to have these heated discussions with him when he was managing my Instagram. I would let him pick pictures to post out of a bucket of pictures that I would have retouched. They're ready to go, and he could just post from. However, I realized that it wasn't that simple, because if he picked like two pictures back to back of different girls, but kind of the same crop, maybe the same angle, maybe the same background, maybe they were both studio shots, it made me cringe. That's really my visceral reaction to that was, we just did something like that yesterday and you're now posting something from, I mean, even though it's not the same shoot, but it's kind of the same picture. And so that's the hallmark thing I hate to see from either photographers or models. Like, when I look through model portfolios, what I hate to see is, well, other than like 20,000 selfies, what I hate to see is she's going to post 15 pictures from the same shoot, or worse, she only has one pose, one look, one angle, and that's rinsed and repeated over every single shoot she's ever done. That's what makes me cringe. That's what turns me off. The same can be said with photographers, is that what I hate to see is a photographer who, when you look at their Instagram, it's kind of that same crop, kind of the same pose, kind of the same look. Even though there's that consistency, that's kind of it might not be the consistency I'm talking about. When I'm talking about consistency, I'm talking about a consistent approach and idea, and not necessarily, yeah, style too, but not necessarily like it has to be the same angle, the same composition, the same, you know, when it gets so narrow like that, where everything's kind of like, okay, for example, let's say you shoot three quarters, every single shot you shoot is three quarters and with a wide angle 35 millimeter lens, and then you're shooting from low and you're stretching out her legs. When I do that, and when I see too many of those pictures in my own portfolio or in my own Instagram back to back, again, it makes me cringe, because it demonstrates a lack of variety and a lack of range, and I hate to put two of them back to back. So what Instagram as a feed becomes is somewhat like a puzzle, because if no two pictures can be the same, then you have to consider that the whole thing is a sliding portfolio that moves with every additional image. So for example, any picture that I put out has to then be compared with the picture next to it and the picture below it. And then, so at any given time, I'm kind of looking at six pictures in a row. The last six pictures that I put out to ensure that I'm not repeating myself as a figure of speech, you know, as I'm not putting something that has already been put out there. I don't even like it when I put pictures out there where the girls are looking the same direction back to back, like in two pictures in rapid succession. That bothers me, because as a magazine editor, I wouldn't lay things out like that. So there have been periods of time when I've been kind of sloppy on Instagram, I'll admit this, where I'm just putting pictures out there and I'm like, I'm not even really thinking about how they're laid out. And you can see these pictures where a couple of them are, you know, black and white, and same crop, same composition, same angle. And by a couple, I mean two. It only takes two. Once I post it, I immediately know I fucked it up. And that's how bad it is. And then also, you can't take anything down. That's the other thing, is some people love taking things down. The problem with the way that I govern the feed is I can't take something down without disrupting the way that image sits with the other ones. If I take one down, let's just say because it didn't get enough likes, or I didn't like it, or for whatever reason, or even worse, it gets taken down for me by Instagram, because of nudity or whatever, someone reports it, it screws up the flow, because maybe that picture was the one who that separated two headshots. Now, even then, that being said, I would never put a headshot, then a full length, then another headshot. I would never do that, because that's still too soon. It doesn't look good in the series of six, right, that I've discussed earlier. That's how I kind of look at everything. It doesn't look good if you just space it out with one single shot that was a little bit different. So you'll rarely find me, if you look through, especially say the last 14, 16, hopefully more than that, but I can definitely say that for over the last, you know, 14, 16, 18 posts, the variety in that, there, I've given it enough thought to make sure and ensure that I'm not disappointed with how the feed and the pictures are presented. So it's not just making good pictures, it's also the curation and selection of those images as you present them to the public, and hopefully that stands for something. You know, that's what I think, that's what editors do, that's their purpose. Your purpose is to grasp the attention of the reader and be able to sell the ad space for a maximum dollars. And here's very specifically why. Why am I... Okay, what's wrong with five images of the girls looking the same direction, in the same pose, black and white? They're different girls. What's wrong with that? Why can't I do that, Charles? Why can't I? Huh? You tell me. I'll tell you. Because by the second image, your audience isn't looking anymore. If you look at the way that I've edited any of the videos, whether it's the Kate Compton video or the one that I shot with Cody Babcock that I called Lost, or any one of them, doesn't matter which one, right? One of the main constructs behind the video is that you don't see two shots back to back that are the same. As an editor, what I was taught was you're constantly supposed to move the attention and the eyes of your viewer around the frame. I'm supposed to move your eyeballs and keep your attention. That's how I keep your attention, to pop things up, to disrupt your expectation of, oh, she's going to be here. No, she's going to be there. Oh, it's a tight crop. No, it's a very wide crop. Oh, it's slow motion. Oh, it's sped up. It's speed ramped or not, or backwards, or it's one action, but it's chopped up into multiple cutscenes, but very in rapid succession. I'll think of it later, I'm sure. So the idea is to retain your attention by moving your eyeballs around. It's not unlike why, if you watch stand-up comedians, why are they pacing up and down the stage? It's because they want people to follow along, and to make sure that they don't get lost, to make sure that they retain the attention of the audience. So they pace, they walk up and down, they walk left to right. Because especially in a live audience, there are some people who can't see you when you're in certain places, or they want to feel like you're talking to them. So it's important for you to engage the whole audience and not just the middle of the audience if you're standing in the middle of the stage. So performers oftentimes they'll use the whole stage in order to keep your attention. And that is the main point of why you create a body of work and present it in a way that keeps people's attention, and can also, it needs to be viewed independently, individually. Like, each image, of course, stands for itself, right? Each image says its own thing. But as a part of the whole, it also has to have some place and can't be lost. It can't be, oh, it's just a mishmash and here it is all thrown together in no specific order. If you have the control for how it's perceived, use it. That is the management of perception that I was talking about earlier, yesterday. Use it. Use whatever you have as a tool available to you. And if you're not using it, you're not doing your job. That is your job. Curation of the image is just as important as shooting and editing it. I edit a shit ton of images that you'll never see. Sometimes because I don't want to edit it and the model makes me, or well, that doesn't happen. But as an example, the model wants a picture, or the agency hires me and I take pictures, or some e-com client hires me and then, you know, I shoot socks. You're not going to see those pictures. Why? Because they don't look good in my portfolio, or they don't say enough, or they don't represent the idea, the consistent idea and the style that I'm trying to convey. So you won't see them. They're not part of the they're not part of the program, I think is the best way to say it. So just because you shoot it, of course, doesn't mean you will post it. And of course, people say, well, I knew that. I don't post the stuff that I don't like. But it's not just not posting the stuff that you don't like. It's also not posting the stuff that you do like that just doesn't belong. I have a whole host of pictures that are in black and that are in color right now. And because right now I'm in a black and white mode, I can't post any of the color ones. Now, I know that's a personal preference, and that's not exactly what I'm talking about, right? For a very long time, I was posting black and white and color, and I was alternating, and there was not that consideration. And there's no restriction against, oh, you only can post color, and oh, you can only post black and white. That's not what I'm really talking about. But there are plenty of pictures that right now, let's say I do like, but if it's in the wrong, if it's not consistent with the style that I'm presenting right now, then it doesn't get posted. And it happens that right now it is in black and white, and right now all the color ones are being held back. So, and also going forward, I'm not creating as many color edits as I used to. So it does trickle up, rather, into the workflow, these requirements, whatever they may be, to try to create more harmony and more unity throughout the entire process so that I don't alienate any of the pictures I do like that just don't belong in the in that style and that look and feel. Does that make sense? So I think in summary, as I'm trying to think about all of this altogether, this is at best this is a part two for the podcast that I made yesterday, which was about managing perception. But one, there's no secret sauce. There's no magic bullet, right? There's no one thing I can tell you, but it is comprised of many, many little things that span over a lot of time and that you do have to think about, and that some people don't. Like the way that I manage my feed, I don't think everybody does that, and I'm not sure why some people don't do that. I don't know if it's too much work or they just think, oh, Instagram's going to be like, it should be like Snapchat. You just send it out there and you forget about it. Well, it's not. It stays there. It sits there. It doesn't get erased, and people don't forget. And so if people don't forget, it should be more viewed as a running log rather than a unique image that only pops up once. So you should curate your images more like a magazine editor would, because in a layout or in a spread, the editor is thinking about all the images that came before and all the images that came after in that specific editorial or those specific series of images or pages that are coming out. You know, spend some time to think about these types of things that people are watching you for. And maybe this is the next podcast, is people are watching you do things that you don't know that they're watching you do, right? So for example, if I'm one of the photographers I was talking about earlier, the Instagram famous photographers that came up in a short amount of time, that may not realize that his actions of being creepy or inappropriate is affecting the way that he's able to get models, because models talk. Word travels quickly. If I'm finding out about these photographers through my models that have been solicited or have talked to this person, then you better believe that news is also traveling to other models, and that person is going to develop a reputation for being off-putting and maybe not the best photographer to work with. So, okay, maybe that's a terrible example. I think everybody thinks about their reputation in that sense. If you're being, well, I think we do. I think the people who aren't appropriate or aren't inappropriate. We think about, well, what if I did this, and, you know, it would be perceived this way, and then, you know, I would get a bad reputation for being creepy. But the ones that are inappropriate, I don't think they think about that. So it is important for you to think about how you're being perceived. In there's another example of this. I remember a couple months ago we were talking about shooting for arsenic, and the reason I was going to shoot for arsenic was because they approached me, we sat down. Through the conversation, it sounded like we were going to be able to do something that really pushed towards fashion and really was less of the glamour, tits and ass type of imagery that you would see on their channel. But long story short, it didn't work out that way. I think they were more concerned about the frequency of their feed rather more than they were concerned with the content of their feed, which is not to say they produce bad content. They produce very good content, but they weren't yet ready to expand their range to do something that was less glamour. And when push came to shove and I wanted to do something a little bit more stylistically beautiful in a fashion way, they didn't have the time, budget, or effort or attention. They have the budget. It's not the budget that was concerning. It was more the, I don't think they could push that ball through as fast, and they weren't really willing to spend the time to develop that idea. To them, it was much more important that we get something out every day, and today is Tuesday, or, you know, in 3 days it's Tuesday, and we need to get something out, and we're just going to slot Charles in, and we're going to ask him to shoot that, and we're just going to bring five of our favorite girls in, and he's going to shoot that, and it's just going to be like, he's the photographer, and hopefully he'll bring his audience and his network and his market base, but we're just going to do the same thing. And so when I found that out, I was like, oh, maybe not. So why am I talking about arsenic? Well, I can't remember exactly, but I'll think of it in a second. But at least in that example, you can see where there's lack of variety, but there is frequency. Oh, and the reason I'm talking about it is because of perception, right? One of the huge problems that came up was, am I contaminating my brand or my image by working with arsenic? Am I polluting my brand and the pristine nature of being a fashion photographer by entering into an agreement or a shoot with what is otherwise a glamour magazine or glamour channel? And that became a long discussion. At the end of that discussion, personally, I weigh the pros and cons, and I said, look, I think I have a lot more to gain than what I have to lose if I were able to produce the type of content that I am accustomed to producing, meaning that as long as it's not just tits and ass, and as long as it's not the girls, especially, it came down to the girls, and what was the deal breaker was that I couldn't get them to get the type of girls that I would approve of. And so when they rounded up, you know, 5-7 of their favorite glamour models, and I looked down the list and I Googled every one of them, looked at their Instagram, I'm like, this doesn't work, because the model is most of the image. Her look, however good I am in Photoshop, that's it. That's all I am. I am probably 30% of the image, and she's 70% of the image. I can't make her into something that she's not. Actually, 30% is very very generous. I think I'm 15% of the image, and she's 85. And if she doesn't have the 85%, there's no way my 15% is going to carry, right? If she's a couple pounds heavy, okay, I can work with that. But if she's more than 15% heavy, I can't work with that. There's nothing I can do. Photoshop can only do so much. Anyway, so I think this discussion is part of the reason I think this discussion is all over the place is that, well, first of all, it's the morning. I am all over the place generally in the morning. But secondly, because this topic is such a very vast, deep topic, it's inexhaustible. Like, we could talk about this for every podcast from here on out, always talking about some level or some part of managing perception and creating that brand presence, because marketing is an art, and it's an inexhaustible art. I mean, you can, so many different ways to do it, but I wanted to make sure that I was representing myself accurately and not creating confusion and not creating problems with you guys thinking, well, you know, Charles, you're not really telling me anything. It's not that I'm not telling you anything. There's just nothing. It's just that there's nothing I can give you in a single podcast that's just going to, you know, save you from all your misery or solve all your problems in how you're getting your models. It is a long, it's a very, very long-term battle. Like, you have to, it's a war. It's not even a battle. It's something that it has to be done over a very long period of time and has to have all the attention, all your attention, and you have to figure it out. And everybody's going to do it differently. And that's the sad thing. I know it's so cliche. Oh, shit, I knew that. Everybody does it differently. Tell me something else that's new, right? Well, but it's true, because I can't tell you how to govern your Instagram feed. Maybe the fact that I don't like three pictures back to back with the, you know, girl in the same crop and same composition and the same facing the same angle, maybe that doesn't bother you. Or maybe you only do something so specific that if it's a different girl, that's enough variety for you. Maybe that's true. I can't tell you what to do. I can't even tell you what a good picture is anymore. I was watching this this video, this YouTuber guy on, I don't know, it was suggested as a YouTube video for me on my YouTube channel or whatever, and I clicked on it, and it was just some dude talking about, I guess he does this thing where he has a contest and people submit pictures and then he picks out like the best out of them and then he gives them prizes and stuff. And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, we're, first of all, I mean, because the genre or the variety of pictures that he was getting was so broad, like there's a picture of a cow, there's a picture of a dude, I think, then there was like a picture of a fashion picture of a girl, and I'm like, how do you even judge this stuff? Like, because it's so broad, like, it really became kind of folly to me. I'm like, how do you even judge what a good picture is? Like, I think it's so, it becomes so personal and so specific to one person that I couldn't tell you, like right now I couldn't tell you, okay, this is how you make a good picture. And I couldn't even tell you that picture of the cow is a good picture, or the picture of the guy was a bad picture or whatever. It doesn't matter. This stuff becomes personal. It becomes specific to you. And I really have a hard time telling you that you're doing it wrong. So in order for you to do it right, you really have to go and try. That's the only thing left. You just got to go try and then make your own mistakes and then say, hey, this worked for me and this didn't. And maybe some of Charles's examples or suggestions were okay. Some of them sucked. But you're not going to know. You're not going to know until you try. And then I love to be proven wrong, because I love to hear how my experiences and my examples that I've given are very different from someone else's, because it then shows that there is enough room for us all to coexist. That's also nice to know. But anyway, I mean, this is a long conversation, and hopefully as a result of this one, I'll think of some other responses to what I've said or what I didn't say, and then we'll have a different conversation altogether. So again, thank you guys for listening. I'll talk to you guys all soon.